At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on SportsGrid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the SportsGrid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Wednesday afternoon. Let's take some control here, people. It's Moneyline in the Afternoon, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'll be your host today, Donnie Wrightside, solo mission. I don't think Kevin's going to pop in today in the first minute of the show and say, whoa, I'm here. So I got you for this hour. We got a lot of hot topics to hit, and we're going to get started right away. On the air this morning, both Ben and I do a show right here on the Sports Grid Network called The Early Line. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't watched it yet, what is wrong with you? You should be there. We set the table for the day at the Sports Grid Network. 3 full hours. And by the way, today, Phil Simms on the air with us today. A lot of fun. Yesterday, Boomer Esiason. Pertinent topics all the way around. And as that show began to unfold, we were doing a buy or sell segment, which actually had us on the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about them a little bit more here, as they will be the showcase game on Monday Night Football this week. But the news came down that Deshaun Watson is going to be out for the season and will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. Expected to be fine for next year, but that's not going to help out the Cleveland Browns. They had a massive win on Sunday over the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Great showing by them. Not only the fact that they went in and beat Baltimore, but how they did it. Down 2 touchdowns multiple times in a football game, coming back to win, and Deshaun Watson was a big part of that. Now we come to find out that Deshaun Watson busted up his shoulder in the first quarter where he looked terrible, only to basically be perfect, I believe, in the fourth quarter and that comeback win. Also, dealing with a high ankle sprain. How was that going to play out? Well, it doesn't matter anymore. He's out for the season, which is devastating information for the Cleveland Browns. This was a team that you thought, heading into the season, a little bit of a wild card. And I don't mean that by pun, right, when they're going to make the wild card. But it was like, okay, can Deshaun Watson, with a full offseason and those headaches for him out of the way, could he play great football this year? Injured basically right off the bat. But Nick Chubb coming into the fold, a dominant offensive line, a defense that looked like can get after it. Could Kevin Stefanski harness that team into a division champion and maybe even into a Super Bowl champion? Now, granted, they were a little bit of a long shot to do that, but hear me out. If everything went well for them, the talent was them, for Zaire, I should say, for them to make a run in the AFC. Now, that's all gone at this point. It's a shame because it would have been interesting to see where they actually would have wound up had Deshaun Watson played out the rest of the string. Could they have won the division? Could they have made a run in the AFC playoffs? We won't know about that now. So this morning, asking Phil Simms, look, back in 1990, he broke a foot. He had a great defense, rallied around that great defense. Jeff Hostetler came in. You won a Super Bowl there. I don't think that's going to be the case. But you know what I was factoring in here with the Cleveland Browns? All right, well, P.J. Walker has done a really serviceable job here with the Cleveland Browns. So he'll be able to step in, no stranger to starting games. He had some success this year, and away they go. Would they be able to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at home now with a backup quarterback? So as I'm prepping him, getting ready for the show, I'm just like, you know, scrolling through some things. And I just see some, it's like, let me just look up PJ Walker, a couple of statistics. And the things start, the blotters start popping up. Boop, 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 boop. I'm going, hold on now. This, when was this from? Is this from like earlier in the season? Where it says PJ Walker now is not going to be the starter. He's going to back up Dorian Thompson Robinson. It's like, where am I getting this from? And where is this actually coming from? And how is this actually a thing? Now, look, I'm not saying PJ Walker, insert him into the starting lineup, dominant football team, and away you go. But he has shown multiple times that he can handle the pressure of an NFL season and win football games or keep you close if you need to do that. Dorian Thompson Robinson, now granted, he didn't have a full week of preparation. It was basically announced on a Sunday morning he was going to be the starter against those same Baltimore Ravens. But he played in that game and looked every bit of, yeah, he's not an NFL quarterback yet. And I know you can learn from your mistakes and, you know, as the season progresses and moves along, you're still in your rookie year, but you've been around the block. You've been through multiple meetings and game plans and all this stuff. I understand. But that really caught me by surprise because the first thing I started to check was like, well, oh, I must have missed. Like, PJ Walker got injured and is out for the year, or, you know, he's on IR, or they released him. Like, I had no idea where to actually check at that point. But no, he's fine. He's going to back up Dorian Thompson Robinson in this football game. And I don't know why. Now, here's the interesting part, too. As we were looking at the line, Pittsburgh and Cleveland this weekend, opened up as a 4.5-point favorite for Cleveland, assuming, again, that Deshaun Watson was going to be fine for the game. MRI on Monday, not on his shoulder, was on his ankle. He said, yeah, I'll be fine, which maybe be a little bit hampered, but still a starting quarterback. And Cleveland certainly should be favored over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this morning when the news broke here, you saw the line start to change. Fours turn into 3.5s, to threes, to 2.5s and twos. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting here. Cleveland's still going to be a favorite over the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, even without Watson as your quarterback. Because P.J. Walker is filled in and did a good job, and there's still a home football team at Pittsburgh. Doesn't have a great offense. So the odds makers, yes, can be occasionally wrong. We understand that, right? But when I started to dip in, I didn't have my odds market up here this morning after just checking to see what the odds flip would change once we found out that Watson was going to be out for the season. And that's what I said. We went down to, let's just say, as low as 2. Well, now, about 5 minutes before the show, just checking in to see once I got the information that Dorian Thompson Robinson was going to start for the Browns, Steelers are a favorite now. FanDuel Sportsbook has the Steelers a minus 1.5-point favorite. And the total this afternoon, or this morning, I should say, before this afternoon, was 34.5 after the injury. Joking with Ben, like, hey, they're going down in Iowa type of, you know, scenarios at this point in college football. Ridiculously low. Yeah, dropped again, people. We're at 33.5 between the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. So if anybody out there says, you know what? You got to find out what you have with the young rookie quarterback while you're in the midst of a possible playoff run. I don't understand this situation at all. Putting your best foot forward for Cleveland should have been PJ Walker. He's not your future. We get that. Put it this way. Dorian Thompson Robinson, Cleveland, is not your future. So to be in a playoff hunt and you basically saying right now the hunt is over, they can't honestly believe, like, and I, hey, look, maybe they do, because they're starting them, that Dorian Thompson Robinson is going to give you the best chance of victory for the Cleveland Browns this weekend? I don't buy it. I don't buy it one bit. Look at the standings. Ravens 7-3, Steelers 6-3, Browns 6-3. You have 2 6-3 football teams meeting in the AFC North this weekend, and Dorian Thompson Robinson is going to be your starting quarterback? Stop it. Stop. Like, P.J. Walker managed a game where you beat the 49ers. Come on now. And if it wasn't for some whack interception that, you know, basically he's going to be a part of, he's probably going to beat Seattle as well. Come on, Cleveland. Are you giving up? Which is actually good news for me. I got a Ravens ticket in my pocket. That only helps out. So the Ravens get by the Bengals on Thursday night, and the Browns get beat by the Steelers, or the Steelers get beat by the Browns. That helps the Ravens. Oh, boy, oh, boy. It's a Wednesday, and we are going to talk a lot of football. Come on back with us.
sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. sportsgrid.com.
Yeah, get money, right? Back at it here on the Sports Grid Network Series, XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here, solo mission on Moneyline. Football, and more football here. Now, as I want to say that, we have been talking NFL, opening up a little talk on the Cleveland Browns and what they're actually doing with Deshaun Watson's backup quarterback position. Quite baffling to me, and the odds makers agree with me, who have seen the favorite side of the Cleveland Browns now dip to the dog side against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are terrible on offense. So no matter what happens this weekend, I do believe that the Cleveland Browns will be in this game. But if I'm getting any confidence out of the first start for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, it's not high on the totem pole for me to say, you know what? That's the team I want to back this Sunday afternoon. Now, I'm going to get to some survivor status picks in just a few moments, which I think I'm going to cruise again. I think I'm cruising again here in week 11, which is fantastic. Started in a pool with 16,000 people. We're now down to about 1,600. And I do got another good matchup this weekend. So the longer I can hold on, the better I will feel. And I did it on DraftKings. The pot is $1.3 million, which gets split amongst the people at the end of week 18. So I'm just hoping a lot more people drop off and we can all share that $1.3 million. And if I don't have to share it, that would be fantastic. Let's get to the phone lines here, 844-843-6879. Moose is calling in here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. What's up there, Moose?
I tell you what, those poor Browns, they just can't catch a break. But, you know, I can't feel sorry for them, even though I'm still a diehard Browns fan. But I certainly didn't like that signing of Watson. Mm-hmm. Initially, I still don't. And you know what? They deserve what they get. You know, that's absolutely it. And sounds like things are kind of heating up north. That's going to be interesting on how that plays out. And, of course, Wednesday, Little Mac Nation tonight. So I listened to
you guys
this morning. You know what? I took Miami giving up the points against Buffalo. And, of course, I was listening to you guys this morning, and I took the Central Michigan game under. So parlayed that.
There you go.
I also parlayed your basketball picks. It paid off for me last night with Embiid. What did he end up with, like 38?
39.
Oh, he just plain went off. 39. Okay, that made me a few bucks, and it's good. You know, it's good. High school football playoffs are in full swing back here in the great state of Ohio, and we'll see what happens to them boys up north. You know, and I tell you what, I had to laugh. Yeah, I had to laugh. That assistant coach that filled in for Hoburger, you know, sitting there and crying at the end. It's for you, Jim. We love you. Oh, my God. Stick a freaking spoon down my throat, you know? I just watched. Come on, man. You know? What the heck? Mm-hmm. But other than that, looking forward to hearing JP's pick today.
Yes.
And love the Wednesday show. But kind of wish you could get Wetzel back on. I miss his hockey picks. But so be it. Still great. Have a great day. I'm out of here.
Wednesdays with Wetzel. Remember those times there. Yes, we are going to get JP's wagers at the end of the show. Where's JP going tonight? He's going a little action. He's going to go with the NBA tonight. He's going to go future wager in the NFL. We'll certainly have some time to find out. We'll certainly see if we can have some fun with that. And, of course, pick out some winners here. Let's keep it rolling here on the phone lines. Yes, you know the numbers, 844-843-6879. Who's up next? Kevin from Washington. Kevin, come on in the program. What's good?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey.
What's up?
I just got to give you guys a huge shout-out. Thanks to your help, your picks, your prognostications, I hit an 8-leg parlay last Sunday. $30 Whoa. Paid me $4,500. I could Whoa. Not have done it without you.
That's and fantastic, man. I love it.
You know, I usually play 3 or 4-leg parlays, you know, 50 bucks at a time. They work out some, they don't work out some. This is the biggest parlay I've ever hit, though. And I want to ask your opinion, and I'll hang up and listen to your response about the Suns with the big three coming back tonight. How are they going to do tonight? And you guys have a great
There you go. I love it. Kevin Corner from Washington, cashing tickets here. And by the way, I'm on a little bit of a losing streak putting together my parlays there. So good to hear the people out there cashing in some tickets overall. Now, Kevin was talking about tonight's NBA action, which is quite interesting as well. Because if we're lining the basketball game up tonight, let me just get my numbers back up here. Because we covered this earlier on the early line. Most people would look at a team such as the Suns and say to yourself, I'm not going anywhere near the Suns. Like, we're not going to do that tonight. I have to see them play well before I lay a wager on them. I'm not that type of guy. I came into the season high on the Phoenix Suns. They haven't been very good. There is no excuses here. If you want to use, okay, they've been injured a little bit, sure. But not every one of their superstars is sitting every single night. The key cog in that equation, as we know, is obviously Kevin Durant. He's been there all the way through. The Phoenix Suns certainly haven't been a great ball club to open up the season. We get that. But sometimes when you take a look at styles make fights and what actually is going to make sense tonight, because if we go back to Tuesday's action on the court, not Wednesday, not tonight, Tuesday, you scroll down, you take a look, okay, Mavericks, Pelicans, Trailblazers, Jazz, Clippers, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Warriors, okay. So the Timberwolves were on the road last night, playing the Warriors, lost by 3 points, had a big melee to start that basketball game. Now, I don't expect anybody from the Timberwolves being held out of the game tonight because they played last night against the Warriors and they fought and they're going to get suspended, right? More of that coming from the Warriors' direction as they were the aggressors here. Anthony Edwards is a sensational basketball player. There's no getting around that. Karl Anthony Towns had a fantastic game last night. They're going to be good to go. But the Phoenix Suns tonight finally are going to showcase all three superstars and what you've been waiting to see entering in the 2023-2024 NBA season. Anticipated starting lineup tonight: Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Josh Okogie, Kevin Durant, Yusuf Nurkic. They're all back here. Now, trust me, Devin Booker isn't coming back in this basketball game, guys, to be a cameo-type player. Just nice to be out here, let me get some cardio, and good luck Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant. That's not the case. As I said it this morning, Devin Booker is an assassin. He's coming out there to score. And on my pick this morning, on the early line, yes, I do think the Phoenix Suns win and cover against this game for the Timberwolves. Because again, a couple things working against the Wolves. Number one, they played last night. Number two, they're going to be playing tonight after travel. And the Phoenix Suns are finally made whole in that starting lineup, which strengthens your bench. Because guys like Grayson Allen or Eric Gordon don't have to start in this basketball game. They can go back into the roles they're used to here. I took Devin Booker in this game also to score 20 or more points. It's a little bit below the average that he set tonight. I think it's like 26.5 maybe, something like that on most sports books for his points prop. I took him just to score 20, and then I also took Kevin Durant to make 1.5 three-point shots, which again, layman's terms, just give me 2 3-point shots made for Kevin Durant. But maybe a plus 115 or so price still sitting out there at the sports books now. But it's great that Kevin called in. Look, the Suns haven't given us a lot of optimism on why you would want to bet them. The Timberwolves are coming into this game 8-2 overall fresh after beating the Warriors. I think the Phoenix Suns win today, and I think they cover. I think Booker has a nice game, Beal getting back into the flow, Kevin Durant in there the entire time. I think it's a great night for the Suns here as you finally get that excitement of a few superstars on the court and maybe a little bit of dead legs for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I hope that helps you, Kevin, there. I hope that cashes in, but congratulations on that big ticket item. Man, it feels good. Yeah, man, you lay $50 down, put it like a 7, 8, 9 team parlay together, and it cashes in. Boy, that helps you for the month. That is cash flow for the month in your sportsbook account. You're taking people out to dinner. You're looking at buying new items. Yeah, it's a good time. Been there, done that before. But as I said, it's been a couple weeks for me, man. Boy, it was like a three-week run. I was putting in, you know, nice little parlays here, using those profit boosts, knocking down 2 or 3 a week. I don't think I've hit 2 or 3 in the last 2 or 3 weeks now. That's all going to change. I know that. Comes and it goes. A couple bad beats here and there. Those tables will be turned. But I do want to talk some college football here coming up in the next segment. I don't know what the college football playoff actually looks at. The people actually pulling the strings. Stop the madness here. We'll get to the bottom of it next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Got college football in the mind? Yeah, I do. By the way, basically what? 2 weeks left in the regular season? Then you have Championship Saturday, which should be a banger, as it usually is. But I do wish, like, the Big Ten, I hope, makes changes in the future. We can't have this East versus West, where the East has the only three good football teams in the entire conference, and then Iowa comes in there and embarrasses himself, or Wisconsin, or whoever it might be. Like, the West is horrendous. They need to make some changes there. And maybe, I don't know, just the addition of UCLA and USC into the West might provide a little bit more juice. We'll find that out. But I don't know if that's going to be the case, if they've even settled on who's going to be East versus West next year. But, as we know, on TV last night, there was a college football playoff ranking show, which I always tell you guys is the worst show in the history of mankind. It doesn't give you any information that you didn't know and usually makes you angry and makes you dumber by watching it. Because quite frankly, I don't think the 13 people in the room actually watch college football. I don't. I think they just fly in and be like, hey guys, get me caught up here. Who won last week? Okay, well, here's my picks and let me write them down. There's no reason that they have to meet anywhere because they're all imbeciles behind that room. And we all knew that. On the first college football show they open up, Ohio State is the number one team in the country. Malarkey. Bogus, nonsense, ridiculousness. Everybody, again, outside of Ohio, outside of Columbus, Ohio, I should say, knows they're not the best team in the country. But they made them number one on some janky, they play people and nobody else plays. I mean, stop the madness here. Stop it. They're not the number one team in the country. Georgia will smoke Ohio State. Everybody knows that. Everybody. But that's beyond the case here. They made Ohio State the number one team in the country. So last week, Ohio State stayed the number one team in the country. This week, coming into the television show, it's like, okay, is there going to be any changes? Because Georgia knocked off a top 10 opponent. You know, Michigan goes into Penn State, handles their business. Florida State ekes out a victory over Miami. Washington wins a game. So we have five 10-0 programs in NCAA action. They are Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, and Washington. Even though I think Oregon is a really good program and actually better than Washington. Donnie, you're stupid. You saw it play out. I understand. Oregon won that game against Washington. Round two's coming up. I'm taking the Oregon Ducks to knock off Washington and get themselves into a Pac-12 championship and into a college football playoff. That's the way I think it's going to happen. But let's focus once again here on the unbeatens. Washington should be above Florida State for me. I don't think Florida State is a great, great team, but deservedly so being in the top five. Washington beat Oregon. Washington should be in that top four there. But the discrepancy between Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio State now, I'm just looking at the AP Top 25, because we're going to get to the college football ranking in just a moment. Because it's wrong, and it doesn't make sense now. You told me, and when I mean you, the College Football Playoff Committee, you convened and came out with your first rankings, which weren't based on 1 week, guys. This wasn't after week one of college football. Hey, Ohio State looks like the best team in football. No, you waited 8 weeks into the season to tell us that the number one team in the country was Ohio State, right? That's what you told us. And after 2 weeks of not losing, Ohio State was still the lead dog. Ohio State played last week against Michigan State, and granted, Michigan State is not very good. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think Michigan State was down 35 points at the break, or whatever it was. They lost that game 38-3. Once again, the question isn't how good Michigan State is. The question is Ohio State was listed as the number one team in the college football playoff rankings. In order to lose your spot as the number one team, you have to play poorly. Ladies and gentlemen, they won by 5 touchdowns on Saturday. They gave up 3 points. And me coming on this angle here, I don't like Ohio State. Folks, I don't think Ohio State's the best team in the country. I don't think Ohio State should have been number one at the first college football playoff ranking television show. But if I'm going to now take up Ohio State, you know how bogus these ratings are of what they're doing behind the scenes with that committee. If you wanted to tell me this past weekend, Michigan State went into Ohio State and almost upset them. You know, ooh, their second field goal, Ohio State just won. I'd say, you know what? That's worthy of moving down a spot or two. That's a team you're supposed to beat down, not play with. But that didn't happen, folks. Ohio State annihilated Michigan State by 5 touchdowns. Embarrassed them. The college football playoff rankings rewards them by dropping them a spot. Which then tells you how stupid the rankings were from 2 weeks previous. If you're going to name a number one team and all they do is shatter bomb the teams they play and you move them to number two, you idiots. You idiots behind the scenes who have no idea what you're even talking about at this point. You don't have to watch thousands of hours of Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, Washington, Oregon to figure they're good football teams. But you do have to have an ounce of decency here to come out 2 weeks ago and say, Ohio State with who they beat are our number one team. Because when you're number one, you're supposed to get even the benefit of the doubt after that. And again, Ohio State annihilated their next two teams, which included a 38-3 victory just this past Saturday against a division rival. Conference rival, whatever you want to say. They're in the same division in that conference. And they drop down. I think Georgia is the best team in the country. Georgia blasted Ole Miss. The SEC, for me, always gets a leg up on every other conference because they've earned that right. It is a gauntlet in the SEC. Even the bad football teams in the SEC would smash the bad football teams in, like, the Big Ten. Smash them. Heck, Vanderbilt might win the West right now in the Big Ten. Because at least they'll be able to score against Iowa. Oh, Iowa's down 3-0. That's insurmountable. Iowa can't come back from that. But the fact that also Michigan now comes in at number 3 after being number 2 in the AP poll. If we're being honest with ourselves here, and we're doing our own rankings at this point, right? Does anybody disagree with me? Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Ohio State 3, Washington 4, Florida State 5? That's the way I see it. It's not even an outlandish take. But I just wanted to bring it up because of how stupid and it's like the hypocrisy of Ohio State's our number one team and 2 weeks later they're not because all they do is blow teams out. Stupid. Now, in the grand scheme of things, people, does it really matter? Not necessarily. But let me tell you this. We're on a collision course coming up in the SEC within 2 weeks. If everything goes as planned. Now, granted, it's already finalized in the SEC title game. But the reason I'm saying, like, you know, could it be a seismic shock? Like, let's just say Georgia goes into Tennessee this weekend and does get beat. They're still in the SEC championship game. But now you'd have 2 1-loss SEC teams in there. And whoever loses that game, I'm going to almost guarantee you, even though a 2-loss SEC team is probably better than 99.9% of what's out there, and yes, they would be better than Ohio State and Florida State and Washington and Oregon, in my opinion. But that's what I, like, you want to talk, Georgia, whoever's number one, let's say Georgia runs the table all the way out, doesn't lose to Alabama, they stay one. They like that. Why? Because let's just say they play Florida State. Not knocking Florida State. They're a top 5 football program in the country. But if you're Georgia, I'd much rather play Michigan. I'd much rather play Florida State than Michigan. I pull up in that 2-hole, and I play one of those two teams. Because here's the interesting part about it, too. Ohio State and Michigan are going to meet in the Big Ten final. Not the championship game. Should be the championship game because they're 2 best teams. But it's how the Big Ten is written. You should actually have a repeat. They should go right now, the Big Ten, go behind the scenes, ratify the new rules of the Big Ten. Michigan and Ohio State will rematch each other in the Big Ten championship game and not waste everybody's time by going another direction because it does hurt. Because I know that the committee always says, well, we really value a conference football championship, right? But let me tell you this. Michigan-Ohio State. Ohio State beats Michigan by 1 point, moves on to the Big Ten championship game, and wins it. Who's going into the college football playoff if you have other teams out there with 1 loss, right? Because I guess you're going to have to knock Michigan down. Hey, Michigan's got, Michigan's got one loss. Texas could run the table here. They would end up winning the Big 12 because they don't have one loss. They have one loss right now. Oregon could run the table. But since they won their conference championship, they would get in. But the worst part about it is Michigan, Ohio State get a bye week in their championship game. So I know that fight is going to be like, why can't Michigan get in? They only lost by 1 point. But Michigan then would have only played technically two football teams the entire season. I don't know how you would put them in at that point. But the college football rankings as they stand right now, and if we're being honest, because I understand you can't remove the wins and the losses, right? Because they do matter. Otherwise, you wouldn't play any football games. You just show up in the college football playoffs and the final and say, these are the four teams I'd like. But regardless, like Alabama right now is playing really good football. I know they lost to Texas early in the season. But obviously, if they win out and then knock off Georgia in the SEC title game, they're going to play for a national championship. There's no question in my mind. But at the same fact, you can't tell me this. Georgia's running the table, then losing a close game to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and we're not going to include Georgia because they have one loss and didn't win their conference, but yet we're going to let Texas in? You see where I'm going with this? Or let's just say Louisville wins the ACC, ends up with one loss. You really want Louisville in there? As opposed to like a Michigan or an Ohio State if they have one loss? These are the decisions that are going to have to be made here over the next couple weeks. And no matter what, we're going to get angry because why? We got to wait another year for the expanded college football playoff. Then we don't have any of these issues. We get all the good teams in, people. Let's head back to the NFL next. Keep the fun going right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Dead man. It's about that time, people. What do we got here? Yeah, let's keep rolling through the show, people. It's what we do right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Moneyline in the afternoon. Your boy, Donnie Wrightside, here. I told you guys, I've been very fortunate this season in my survivor pool. Week to week, I think I've only had really one struggle, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles early on against the Washington Commanders. They win that game in overtime. They were down double digits early. It was a messy, messy game, but felt fortunate that the Philadelphia Eagles did win that game. After that, it hasn't been too much of a sweat. Outside of Arizona putting up a little bit of a fight against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle a couple weeks back, it's been a breeze, man. You're not supposed to get those. In the NFL, typically, no matter what the line is, it's almost like a sweat every single week. But I've been absolutely blasting through this. And every week midweek is, it's not like you're picking your games, so to speak, out. But you do have to have an idea of where you're going. Just to give you a look at the teams that I played so far. Baltimore Ravens in week one, 25-9 victory over the Houston Texans. Week number two, Buffalo Bills, 38-10 over the Raiders, had the Buffalo Bills. Week number three, San Francisco 49ers over the New York Giants, 30-12. And I told you about that Commanders game in week four, was 34-31. Eagles moved on. And by the way, the team has seemed to keep on fading. There's a couple teams that keep fading. There's number one is the New York Giants. Week five, Dolphins over the Giants, 31-16. Week six, Rams over the Cardinals, 26-9. Week seven, Seattle Seahawks, 20. Arizona Cardinals, 10. Week eight, Chargers, 30-13 over the Bears. Week nine, Saints over the Bears, 24-17. Week 10, Dallas Cowboys over the New York Giants, 49-17. I've already locked a pick in this weekend. Now, granted, you're allowed to change it, but sometimes I am forgetful at my age. The last thing I want to do is like, hey, man, I had 10 weeks all the way through, and I just forgot to pick a game before Sunday. So that's why I always make sure by Wednesday I lock something in. Now, doing that, I went ahead again and faded the New York Giants. Here's what all I needed to see this week. Who the starting quarterback was going to be for the Giants. The minute they came out and said it was going to be Tommy DeVito, it was an easy, easy click of the button. Do we love the Washington Commanders in any way, shape, or form? Not necessarily. But there's one thing I know about the Washington Commanders. They have an NFL offense. They can score points. They can move the football. Now, they've always looked really good. No, they haven't. They got smashed by the Buffalo Bills. They lost 40-20 to the Chicago Bears. They even already lost to the Giants. This is a team that's under 500 at 4-6. They're favored by double digits this weekend over the Giants at home. It's an easy pick for me. And it's one of those where you say if it loses, you tip your cap and move on. But you tell me what you've seen out of the Tommy DeVito New York Giants that gives you any inkling that the Giants can win any football game anywhere at any time here. These are the gifts that you need to win a survivor pool. You need instances that come up like, hey, most of my really good football teams are gone. Who do I get to use? Oh, a bad team favored by 10 over maybe the most horrendous team assembled known to mankind in the Giants? You can't pass up those opportunities. You got to go on those. And again, it's not about the Commanders. This is just a simple fade of the Giants and a chance to use the Commanders this late in the season when I still have the Kansas City Chiefs open, which I'm not going to use them, obviously, against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's too close. I also have the Detroit Lions open, who are north of a touchdown favorite against the Chicago Bears. They'll win that game. But I feel like those are two teams that I might as well save because I'll never get to use the Commanders again. Now, if you're listening saying, well, Donnie, you might never use them again because they might lose this weekend. I get it. It's the NFL. Crazy things happen. But if we were looking at even Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor being in the pocket, it might give you a little bit of pause. But this offense is so bad. And also, I know sometimes we just talk about like the offense is being bad because it's Tommy DeVito at quarterback. The Giants are a sieve on defense. Back-to-back weeks here. The Raiders dropped 30 on them. The Cowboys dropped 49 on them. This team is broken, man. It's broken. So if we factor in the team total, basically, which I haven't even checked in yet, it's got to be under 14 points here for the Giants this weekend. You would take that every single time. And it's smart to do that. So my survivor pool pick this weekend, Washington Commanders by a landslide. By a landslide. Now, as I said this morning, we were going over on the early line talking to Phil Sims. And one of the questions that keeps coming up, and I know Kevin is a big fan of the Houston Texans. And I preface this by saying, right, because we even had a buy or sell segment this morning, can more than one team in the AFC South make the playoffs in the NFL this year? Obviously, we know one has to go because they have to win the division. That's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars for me. But the more I start to look now at the Houston Texans, it really makes sense they're going to be in the playoffs. Now, what are the cons here before we get to the pros of the Houston Texans? Rookie quarterback, low expectations coming into the season. Sooner or later, the bubble is going to burst for them. I get that. But they've won 3 out of 4 games. The Saints are a decent football team. They beat them. The Panthers are really bad, and they lost to them. That's one of those anomalies, which, again, as you look forward to the remaining parts of the season, you go back to games again. Like, oh, hold on now. They lost to the Falcons, they lost to the Panthers, but they lost those games close. Honestly, look, first game of the season, they were actually competitive in that Ravens game. They lost 25-9. They then lost to the Colts 31-20. So they're going 0-2. But look at the games after that, people. Smashed the Jaguars by 20 points on the road. Smashed the Pittsburgh Steelers at home 30-6. They didn't play a great game against the Falcons. They lost. You know how much they lost by? 2 points. They come back and beat the Saints the next week. They go on the road and they lost to a bad Panthers team. I get that. You know what they lost by? 2 points. Miracle comeback against the Buccaneers. Win by 2 points, 39-37. Beat the Bengals on the road, 30-27. Guys, they're in every football game here. Every one. Outside of the first 2 weeks, it's been a really good, competent football team that sometimes hasn't even had their best football players on the field. Running backs, wide receivers, offensive line, defensive backs. It's been a big issue. And they still keep winning. So take a look at the Houston Texans the rest of the way out here. They play the Cardinals this weekend. And it is a shame here because there's a couple teams I'm going to go over of why you would probably have wanted to play them earlier in the season. But beggars can't be choosers. You get what you get. They're at home against the Cardinals. They actually should win that football game. But boy, what would have happened if they got Clayton Tune lined up as opposed to Kyler Murray on that side? How big of a difference would that have made, right? Then they take on the Jaguars. They smashed the Jaguars already, and they have the Jaguars at home. I tend to think the Jaguars will win that game. So let's just say they pick up a victory this weekend against the Cardinals, lose against the Jaguars. And then they have after that the Denver Broncos, who have really turned the page on their season. You would like to play the Denver Broncos a few weeks ago, right? But that's a winnable game. It's at home. On the road against the Jets 12-10. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is back for that game. So you're going to get Zach Wilson and or whoever might be there. That's a winnable football game. The Titans on the road. Will Levis is a rookie. That's a winnable football game. They're not easy, though. Because the Houston Texans aren't world beaters. They're not looking at them in the optics of the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Or the Detroit Lions this year. They don't get the benefit of the doubt of, oh, it's a road game against a team that should be inferior, they should win. Because we're worried about them and their rookie quarterback. And rightfully so. But after that, they're going to get the Browns. No Deshaun Watson at home. The Titans again, who you know will be probably out of it by then. And then they finish with the Colts on the road last game of the season, who I don't think the Colts are going to be hanging around in the playoff picture enough for that to happen. So it's a legitimate chance that Houston can have a nice finish to the season and be in the playoffs. It's the old joke that Kevin and I make so many times where, you know, asking about who's going to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball. And you say, well, the St. Louis Cardinals are terrible. They're not making it. But who around them is? That's the question. Like, I just told you about the Texans and the schedule they have coming up, right? But just as much as your schedule coming up is who actually has to win around you at that point. Because when you go to the AFC playoff picture, it's cloudy, man. Season ends today. The Houston Texans are in over the Cincinnati Bengals. Same record, but why? You watched the Texans beat the Bengals last week. So, all right. Let's say the Cleveland Browns are now 6-3. They don't have their starting quarterback the rest of the way. Are we guaranteed that they're going to win 6 out of every 9 games they play the rest of the way and finish 12-6 or 12-7? There's no guarantee on that. The Pittsburgh Steelers barely have an offense. They're 6-3. And the Cleveland Browns might be able to do them a solid by knocking them off this week. Even though I think Pittsburgh gets the edge this week over the Browns for me. Should be a low-scoring, ugly football game like every Steelers games are. Colts, 5-5. What, they're going to make the playoffs over the Houston Texans? The Buffalo Bills can't get out of their own way. Oh, the Bills will get it together, which I technically think because they're so talented. But still doesn't make a lot of sense, to be honest. It still doesn't. They shouldn't be that bad, but they are that bad. They got the Jets this weekend as if that's going to be an automatic victory for them. Raiders at 5-5? Come on. Chargers, joke, 4-5. Jets, 4-5. Broncos, 4-5. They're right in the thick of things, Houston. Again, if the season ended today, they are in the playoffs. Certainly something to keep an eye on here. I find myself rooting for the Houston Texans now all of a sudden. It's just wild to think about at this point. Now, this week's games, again, start to play out. We don't need as much, you know, preview because you know the teams, you know the players that are playing. Thursday Night Football is going to go a long way to decide who's going to win that North Division in the AFC. Cincinnati, Baltimore, banged up Baltimore. Humphrey's out for that game, it looks like, as well as Ronnie Stanley. That doesn't help. You take a look at Cincinnati, down T. Higgins in this game, down Hubbard, a defensive end in this game. Not coming in fully healthy for them. But I still do think, for some reason, Cincinnati's going to hang around in that ball game. Kenny Pickett in Cleveland. We just talked about that game. DTR is there. Steelers are going to move to 7-3, people, with that offense. Think about that, which is fantastic. Because I got a long shot ticket on the Pittsburgh Steelers. A long shot ticket. They make the playoffs. I'm hitting the cash out button immediately for a very nice profit. Job well done, Donnie Wrightside. That's what I'm rooting for there. But look at Houston, though, right? Arizona last week knocked off the Atlanta Falcons in a comeback victory. I thought their quarterback, Kyler Murray, looked very good and agile. And as the weeks go by, his knee's going to get healthier, and also he's going to knock the rust off in the passing game. But they have a terrible defense. But Houston is a 5-point favorite now in most outlets across the board. Total 47.5, which probably gets over, and because Houston actually has a really good offense now. Really good. We'll see if they get some players back, so keep an eye on those practice reports that'll start coming out a little bit later today. As I told you, New York Giants, Washington Commanders, that's close to a 10-point line. DeVito's the quarterback. They stink. There's no chance the Giants can win that football game this weekend. None whatsoever. The other team I was looking at that I still had alive was Detroit. I don't want to burn them yet. I do think they beat the Bears, but Justin Fields is coming back this weekend. We'll see if that makes a difference for them. Carolina, probably going to wind up with the worst overall record in the NFL and get nothing in order to reap the benefits of that. They traded their first-round pick last year, so they made sure they got Bryce Young, and they didn't even get the best quarterback in the draft. That stings if you are a Carolina Panthers fan at this point. It really does. Tampa Bay is going to get sacrificed, by the way, on the West Coast, too, against the San Francisco 49ers. That is going to be a blowout. How about the Sunday night football game, guys? Minnesota and Denver. It's actually a good football game here. 43.5. If Dobbs goes on the road again and picks up a victory, I don't know what to think, but I might start betting on Minnesota Vikings futures here. One more segment to go. Let's find out where JP's going with his money here. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ready to rock and roll. Good time on the show today overall. 1 hour certainly does fly by relatively quickly here. But before we go, we'd like to get out some picks into the environment. JP, get in here tonight. Explain yourself. Where are we going and what do we like and why?
Let's do it. Let's go Derek Jones Jr. over his 7.5-point total. Kyrie Irving questionable. Okay. So I think we're going to see some extended minutes from Tim Hardaway and Jr. They bumped up Hardaway's prop, but they haven't touched Derek Jones Jr. So I expect more minutes from him and more points because they're playing the Wizards, who let everyone score.
Yeah, it's true. The Wizards do let everybody score. There is no doubt about that. That is a bad, bad franchise overall. This morning, we were talking up on the early line, going over a couple player props here. 24.5 was the player prop this morning for Damian Lillard. That's the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Toronto Raptors in the 6, which means obviously north of the border in Toronto. However, some things have changed here since this morning. Damian Lillard is up to 28.5. You go, whoa, that's CLV. Man, it's a great pick. Well, it is a great pick, but knowing that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to play tonight, which means Damian Lillard is forced to do everything tonight, sure, his numbers went up. So it was 24.5 this morning, and I think his over-under on three-point shots made was 2.5. That's now been bumped to 3.5. So, of course, everything is higher. I think Lillard's still going to do fine. Yes, I do, but the value there, certainly gone. But going out to the West Coast tonight, I do think the Suns have a good performance, and I do think Devin Booker chimes in. It's simple, too. We're just taking the juice away, basically. 1.5 three-point shots made by Kevin Durant, which, again, just means he needs to make 2 of those, and also Devin Booker, for me, to score 20 or more points. That pays about a plus 115 back, depending on what you're shopping on. I think those plays do make sense. We're in the midst here of setting up that football card for Thursday, Sunday, and also Monday night. I do think there are some good shots here to go up against some bad defenses and make some coin. Jared Goff at a dome should really eat this weekend. Brock Purdy should continue to level the boom against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And also, Josh Allen to go nuclear against the New York Jets at home, which means he's going to use his legs, people. Watch out for some of those rushing props. But that'll do it for the show today. JP behind the wheels of steel. Donnie Wright said here on a solo mission. Tomorrow on Thursday, yeah, we'll be back getting you ready for the NFL. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.